Number 3. Private Road, Middlefield. Let's keep walking along here together. We're going to be on this path now for some time. As I said, away from the traffic. Come on. I've got some stories for you. 5 in all. When I told my family what I was doing, they said that I'd have to talk about the pit. And I said I didn't really want to. That loads of people talk about it, and there's other things that are more interesting. But they said,
think about it. How something that was buried so deep in the ground could transform a place so quickly. And places where such a thing has happened, like Ollerton, should tell those stories to remind people how quickly things can change from one thing into another.
And I realised they were right. So, there are 5 stories on this walk that move through the history of the pit. From its sinking to the moment they blew the headstocks and Ollerton started to become an ex-mining community. And you wonder when it will become an ex-ex-mining community. Because it'll have to one day. The next place we're going to stop is on the bridge, overlooking the railway. So if the story is still playing when you get there, just wait on that bridge and let the story finish, and then go to the next track. Make sure you're looking out over the line as you do, in either direction. Anyway, this is the first of the 5 stories. It's set in the 1920s, and it's called Sinking.
When I get in, Mick goes out. When Mick gets in, Dig gets out. That's the way it is at Mrs. Gibbons. 24 sinkers, 8 beds. You could fry an egg on those sheets, they're that hot. Always an urn of tea on the go. And in the morning, an errand boy turns up from Melia's store, having picked up half a lamb from the 10:20 train, which goes straight into a large copper with spuds and onions and carrots and collies. And Mrs. Gibbons always reaches into a big glass bowl and takes out a stick of licorice. But the errand boy never eats it. Don't you like licorice? I asked him one day. It's good for you, you know. It'll put hairs on your chest. That stuff won't, he answered back. The monkeys peed all over it. It's a bloody menagerie here, what with the chicks and cats and mongrels. You'd think having the place full of us sinkers would be enough for anybody, but not for Esther. She's a fine woman and treats us all well. But she's not the only one. There's a few like her, here in the bungalows, running billets for the sinkers, a lot of them Irish. Then when we're done, the company will bring in men from their other pits that are running out of coal, while we'll all be getting in and out of some other bed somewhere else, digging deep into the earth to open a new mine in some other village, in some other county. It's a right bloody job, though, sinking, especially here. We had to get right through an underground river. Water everywhere there was, like you wouldn't believe. 7,000 gallons a minute at times. You try not to think about it. All that water ready to force itself in on you. It's a bloody powerful thing. Only 3 months ago, 38 men were killed up in Northumberland, thanks to an inrush. But it's just the way the land lies. If there's coal to be got and there's water in the way, then we'll find a way round it. And Ollerton is sopping. But there's coal down there like you wouldn't believe. 400 years worth, some reckon. And Lord Savile of Rufford Abbey must be rubbing his hands in glee. Mineral rights. 5,000 acres of them. Oh, yes. They've got it nicely stitched up, haven't they? Not only do all these bloody lords own everything you can see for miles around, but they also end up getting paid through the nose just because the bloody stuff that the country needs to power its development happens to be sitting under their land. Anyway, I won't be here for much longer. We reached the top hard seam last week and were given a bit of a banquet. Though to be honest, it didn't touch the stuff we get at Mrs. Gibbons. All of us walking around with our Sunday best on, meeting the managers and shaking hands, and them talking about how wet it had been when half of them hadn't even got damp. They'll get a shock in a few years' time when it all changes. Because if I know anything, I know this. That men are coming home with a sum that looks more like a taproom collection on a Thursday night than a wage. And the only way to destroy those who benefit by this is by organisation. And that's where we come in, us sinkers. We turn up in these semi-feudal places, and you know that by the time you've finished your work, that you've inflicted a change on the landscape that is going to go much deeper than digging out a load of coal. You see the youngsters, herding the sheep from Edwinstow through to Ollerton Market. And you think, in a few years' time, laddie, you're not going to be farming. You're going to be down a bloody pit. They'll get you up off the land and shove you down underneath it. And once that happens, when you're all down there together, then you're going to realise that something isn't right, and that if you're going to change it, you're going to have to get together. So I'm heading off, opening up more seams, more faces. And the only thing that I'll miss will be Mrs. Gibbons' cooking, and the jockeys that you see strolling around the forest while Craggs the blacksmith shoes the horses riding at Doncaster and Southwell and Lincoln. Because there's nothing like a word from a jockey to give you an inkling of how a horse might do. And I won't change my mind, although a few of the other lads are trying to convince me otherwise. They think it's going to be a good place to work and a good place to live. A good place to bring their wives to, and a good place to bring up their families. Well, good luck to them. Good luck to all of them. And we'll see, won't we? We'll see how it all turns out in the end.
So, are you there yet? At the railway bridge? Or are you still on the way? When you are there, looking out over the railway lines, then go to the next track.